Hey,
we're the few.
You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Come to Foo Bar on December 17th for our 5th annual Christmas Bash and Food Drive to see us, along with Noesis, Forgetting January, The Failures, and our good friends from Minneapolis, Vaudeville.
Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and tickets are only $7.
Be sure to bring canned food or other non-perishable food items for donation to the St. Louis Area Food Bank so we can help those less fortunate have a better holiday season.
All tickets purchased in advance will be entered to win 4 tickets to see Star Wars Rogue One on us.
The winner will be announced at the end of the night.
Also, if you haven't picked up our new record, Sleep Tight When You Wake Up Will Be Gone, grab your physical copy from us on the 17th or download digitally anytime.
Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Hey, quick reminder, if anybody hasn't checked it out, I put together this playlist on Spotify called the Rock Paper Podcast Favorites. All kinds of local music and guests from the show. About 2 or 3 songs from everybody I could find on there. So head over to Spotify, check it out, find some new great music. Also, want to tell you about my friends over at The Gaslight. Check them out over on the hill, gaslightstl.com, and go over there and book yourself a recording session. It's a beautiful studio here in town, attached to a bar. It's a really unique experience. You can come in, you can record, or you can listen to one of your favorite bands recording their record, and just have a lot of fun over there. So again, GaslightSTL.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and get involved. Check out their full listing of upcoming events on the website. Also want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them over there on Washington Avenue, right next to KDHX, brand new location. They got a lot of great stuff going on. Check it out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, musicrecordshop.com. A lot of great live in-stores on the weekends. On Fridays, all new music happy hour, all new records in-store. And they got a great local selection. You can get in there, check that out. And if you want your own records on the shelf, hit them up about that, see how you can make that happen. And then check it all out. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Jeremiah Johnson, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. Rock on, brother.
Rock Paper Podcast.
everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Jeremiah Johnson. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, man, good to be back. It's been when was the last time?
Yeah, it was like almost 2 years. I think it was January 2015.
Right.
At your place, and lots of change, man. I was doing the show with Chris then, and Chris has since parted ways. He had a second child and things, and
right.
It got difficult for him, so I've been, going on my own, doing my thing, and it's been a lot of fun. I got real busy doing this, and I'm over, that was episode 40, and now I'm at like 320-something, so,
wow. Yeah. You've definitely been busy then, yeah.
So.
Well, good, I'm glad to be back, man. Yeah.
You've been busy yourself, man, all over the world, and doing all kinds of stuff, man.
Yeah, since we released a new record, the brand's Pink and Blue. Or what am I talking about? Blues Heart Attack, sorry. I do that all the time. It's been doing real well. We got on the Conor Ray music label again. And they picked up the Grind CD. That's what we talked about last time.
Right.
But Blues Heart Attack has been kicking butt, man. The first month there, for the first 5 weeks, we were, made it in top, 15 of the Billboard Blues charts, made it all the way to number 5, and so we had that nice big push there at the beginning, which was really nice to see it happen, so quickly, and realize that we got a strong enough fan base where we can at least, kind of poke through there, the top for a little bit, and
right.
I guess now we're working on trying to figure out a way to keep it up there.
Sure.
But man, we're proud of the way the record's done, and it's still doing really well on the radio charts. So, if there's one thing that is nice to see, that it's still getting played quite a bit, and it's staying up in the top 50, as far as blues, rock, genre, albums.
Right.
So, been doing great, man. Really, really stoked about it.
Yeah. I loved following along and seeing those, different chart positions and stuff as you guys were tracking all that. And it was just really cool to see that, watching it rise to the top up there. So, it was a lot of fun, and I was really proud of you guys. So
thank you.
It's cool to see guys out there doing it, man, getting out there and making it happen.
Well, as cool as it is, I'm just proud that so many people believe in it, and the fans that come out and see us all the time, they tell me stories about how much they enjoy the music and how they play it for their families and their friends and such.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing that really is that's the difference. I mean, that I've always told people that you're only really successful or big if people believe you are, and so, with people out there, like the great fans we've had, they're just awesome because they really do believe in it, and they really love the music enough to share it with their friends and family, and as long as we can keep doing that, I think we're going to be all right,
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. You also, you mentioned your Conor Ray deal, but you also with Delaney Guitars now, too?
Yeah, I got picked up as an endorsed guitarist by Delaney Guitars and kind of went on a crazy spree there and had four guitars made since we've talked.
Yeah.
And fell in love with the guitars. Mike Delaney, he's out of Austin. He makes guitars for a lot of, a lot of great players. He's got a lot of great endorsed artists. So first of all, I was honored and blown away that he even asked me. But once I started playing the instruments, I realized, the guy's a master at what he's doing. The cool part about it to me is that each guitar that he makes for me is custom to my specs, and it's like totally unique, So no one's going to have it, I don't know why that's, it's just so cool to me,
Yeah,
it's like,
definitely.
You can go, nothing against a Les Paul or anything like that, but you can go buy a new one, and another guy could buy the same guitar,
Right.
But you're not going to go just get another one like what I got, I think it's cool. And Mike's just a great guy and great people to work, to be endorsed, by. I try my best to showcase the guitars everywhere I play, you know. I take them all over the place, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I think that's really, really neat that, you know, you were, you've given that opportunity to, you know, make your own guitar and stuff. I mean, that's that kind of stuff.
The thing about it that's crazy is that you get into that and you think, wow, this is going to be awesome. But if you have never built a guitar or don't know anything about them, like, I always just plugged into them and played them and was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
It takes a little learning of what all goes into them. You know, I actually had to do some crash courses on what, you know, what kind of neck do I want, you know, and what kind of pickups do I want, you know, what kind of a body, you know. It's a learning experience, too. You know, I learned a whole lot about how guitars are made and what makes them sound different, too. So,
sure.
And Mike's great. Mike's great at doing that, you know, like walking you through it. So, you know, he doesn't just make guitars for his endorsed artists, you know, obviously. He makes them and sells them. And, you know, anybody that calls him up, if you just get a hold of him through the website, man, he can walk you through it. You don't have to know everything about a guitars to have him get you something that you're going to be extremely proud of, you know. And I've learned that, you know, he really walked me through it the right way. And I'm happy with him, man. I'm going to have some more guitars made by him. I'm hoping I'm going to get another one next year. I've got four right now. I've been doing two a year, so I had to put my brakes on
right.
for a little bit.
Yeah. So we, like we said, we Blues Heart Attack available now, pretty much everywhere digitally. And
Yeah. The easiest thing is to just go to the website. But you know, if you Google it, you're going to find it. You know. Any kind of search, but the website's got all the different links, way to download it or whatever.
Yeah.
We've got a pretty decent website hooked up right now. We got good people working for us doing that.
Yeah, JeremiahJohnsonBand.com.
JeremiahJohnsonBand.com, yep.
And you can get your hoodies and all kinds of stuff, too.
We've got more merchandise than most bands, I think. We got tons of stuff that we have to drag around now. But luckily I got, our merch guy, Larry, man, and he's just the awesome man. He, you know, he handles all that stuff and pretty much runs it all and takes the orders and ships them and everything and
shows up
to all, goes with us on the road and sets up all the stuff. And
yeah.
I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better than that.
It's a great record though, man. I was really digging it. I picked up my copy, physical copy at Big Muddy Blues Festival over the summer. So it's that was another great party, and I mean, it was just really cool to see you getting, you know, the opportunity to headline
and an all
local festival and stuff. And
well, and you know, the whole us being in the charts, it all happened all at the same time. You know, here we were getting the chance to headline a major festival that's really, you know, one of the festivals that's been around the longest, you know, here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And being all St. Louis musicians and then get to headline it, and then that same week making it into the top 10 of the Billboard Blues charts.
Yeah.
Sort of felt surreal there for a bit.
Yeah, and
that crowd was insane. They took the barricades down and let everybody rush the stage, and I mean, it was, I have to say, man, that was one of the highlights of the year, you know?
Definitely,
man. Yeah, that was a great time.
I was right up there in front. I was against the stage rocking with you. I got a nice picture. I think Reed got it.
Yeah.
A picture of you on stage, and you can see me up there in the front, and I think Tyler Stokes.
Yeah. I think I know which one you're talking about. That was a heck of a cool experience to be able to be up there playing and see that huge crowd out there. And then, I have to admit, you know, that was right there is one of those moments you have to cherish, you know, because you don't get those very often, you know, but whenever you do, you know, it's a great memory and inspiration to continue doing what you love, you know?
Yeah. And then not to mention, on a, you know, beautiful night on the riverfront and stuff. I mean, there's a lot, you know, just a lot to take in right there.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I picked up my copy, and man, like I said, it's just another great record. I was really, you know, I've been a big fan of a lot of your work for a long time now, and you know, Brand Spankin' Blue, I think, was my first introduction, but then, like, you know, getting Grind and hearing like kind of the evolution of the sound a little bit there,
yeah.
And then now this record too, Blues Heart Attack, man, it's just been on a roll.
Yeah, well, what I was trying to do really as we changed, you know, with the Blues Heart Attack, I kind of wanted to get a little bit of the, you know, the change that I made with Grind, but then still kind of go back to some of the stuff I was doing earlier on, you know, and mix the two together. And I thought it worked, turned out really nice. You know, Jason McIntyre over, you know, Jason McIntyre engineered it and helped me produce it, and at Sawhorse Studios, and he just nailed it. You know, he kicked butt with it. You know, I think we really got a product that we were proud of, and that, you know, people obviously like it. You know, right. So I'm real proud of it. There's a couple songs on there that I really don't think that there's anything I could do to make them any better. I mean, like, you, normally when you leave and you listen to something even 6 months later, or sometimes just a few months later or whatever, there's always some little something you wish you would have done different or whatever. There's a couple of them on there that I just can't imagine doing anything different and being any better, you know?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Is that kind of what went in with re-recording Southern Draw? Is like, just wanted to re-redo it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, with Southern Draw, I just felt like we were at a point now in our with our career, you know, where we're at as far as a band, that where more people were going to hear it right off the bat, and we were on the Conor Ray Music label, so mm-hmm. I knew it was going to get a big... And I felt like the song had changed and evolved into a little less of a so slow song, and maybe a little bit faster tempo, and I thought it maybe had a little more appeal, so I wanted to redo it. And you know, I think the newest version of it is that, you know, I'm not going to do it again. Yeah, but I think it turned out great. You know,
yeah.
It also was a more radio friendly length. You know, we shortened it up a bit so that right. It wasn't so long. And, you know, the funny thing is we went through all that, and I don't think anybody's playing it on the radio at all. So that's the other song. So I think it's about time to wrap it up for Southern Draw, except for our live shows, you know. Yeah.
Well, it is a great tune. I think it would – I mean, I know you're a blues rock guy, but I feel like that song lends well to, like, kind of where country music radio is going right now, like – you know, kind of, especially having that Southern country roots to it.
Yeah.
Especially in the lyrics and things. But, you know, I know, that's kind of, I feel like that would fit in well with a lot of what country radio is doing right now.
Yeah, I wish I could get those country radio people to give it a listen, you know. But maybe it'll happen still, you know, I don't know. I think it's well put together tune. It's a great song. It's proved over the years to be very popular, you know, by all my fans and such. So we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, I always am going to be a bit Southern with my music, you know. There's not going to be any records that I'm going to put out that's not going to have a hint of Southern or Southern rock or whatever in them.
Right.
It's just who I am. It's the way I grew up. It's my life. So I ain't ever going to be afraid to put songs like that on my records, you know. Yeah. I don't care what you know, I ain't trying to be pigeoned into one little section, you know.
Definitely.
I mean, I'm not going around pretending that I'm some kind of authentic, the blues player, you know what I mean? I play blues, but I play Southern rock and blues.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to be the real deal, you know, in that sense, you know, if you follow me. I want to make good songs that make you feel and kick your butt. I want to take you on some blues, but I also want to get, you know, I am a Southern rock and blues type player. That's what I do, you know?
Yeah. And that's a lot of why I really, like your sound and then even this new record, because there isn't, like, I mean, there's a lot of going on. There's, you know, you got, Everybody Party is like, like a New Orleans kind of,
vibe. Right.
You know, it's got that. And so, like, you're getting, some of that sound in there, but it's like, it's nice to have, like, you got your kind of slower stuff. You got some rockers, you got some blues, you got some rock, you got, you know, even a like kind of Zydeco thing going
well,
on.
Well, some get, you know, some people like a record or bands that play the same type of style all the way through, and then other people like a band that the album, every song's a little different, you know. Well, my albums, every song's a little different, right. You know. And I'm hoping that that you pay attention long enough to listen to the whole thing, and then you have an overall idea about what we are as a band, you know, and or I am as a songwriter too, you know.
Sure.
And to me, it's a lot more fun to play it live because I feel like, you know, you're giving everybody a little something different, you know. If I was up there playing the same pattern, you know, same thing over and over and over, I'd be bored to death with it, yeah. You know. I wouldn't have fun with it, you know.
Sure. Yeah, even if you're, you know, having the craziest party and stuff, people still need a break to, you know, take a breather and stuff, so you need to throw in a little slower song for every now and then to get a slow dance in or whatever, you know, or anything,
right.
But like you gotta, it's just nice to have that dynamic to the sound.
Well, and plus, you know, I studied guitar, you know, been playing for so long, and I took, you know, I was in jazz for a while in college, and for me, musically, it's a lot more fun and challenging to try to be able to emulate different types of music and yet keep it to where it's, you know, a little bit of kind of my thing, you know.
Right.
In other words, I'm not trying to necessarily learn how to play a country riffs exactly like, you know, whatever country player or whatever, but learn enough of it that I can put it in with what I do and learn enough rock stuff and sort of blend all this together into some kind of thing that's my own, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the fun thing for me as a musician, you know, to be able to do that. And I sure give it hell, you know, I'm trying.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, obviously I think that's what, everybody should be doing is, kind of borrowing enough of everybody else's stuff to make your own thing, you know, to like where you find your own lane, where you belong. And,
right.
And, but I mean, instead of trying to just emulate one thing, trying to be that one rock guy or whatever it is, it's nice having all that different variety of sound and influence.
Hey, and for those people, all the power to them, you know, what everybody, the way I look at it in this business, man, if you can make a living at it, then I don't care what you're doing, man,
right.
Good for you. You know, it's a tough business, man.
Sure.
There ain't nobody out here getting rich nowadays, you know. These people, you know, anytime you can make a new album and the day you release it, it's already up on like 15, 20 different sites for free.
Right.
You know, that's how it is now. I mean, literally the day that I dropped the CD, that day it was already up on 15 different sites for free.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you know, how is anybody ever supposed to make any kind of living whenever that's the way it is? And, you know, not more and more the generation of people growing up now expect it to be free,
mm-hmm.
or expect it to be relatively free, or expect it to be where you just pay $10 a month to hear everything in the world for free.
Right.
You know, I mean, so if you can make a living at it, and I don't care what you're playing, good for you. Because it's a bitch.
Sure. I saw the other day, I was on, there's a website called The Hard Times. It's like a kind of like The Onion, just like a spoof news kind of thing.
Yeah.
There was like the article. The headline was the music industry said they're not hiring anymore, and that they, you know, all spots are filled or something like that. And like it's kind of it was funny, but it's like that's how it feels. Like it's just like there's not those big. You know, like I say, nobody's making it rich out here. Like, you know, there's very few and far between that are actually, you know, you got your whatever Adele's and Taylor Swift's and things.
Right, but you have the big people who, you know, the major record companies, but
yeah,
it's just a mess.
Right.
But you know, it is what it is, and I never got into it, you know, necessarily, you know, to become famous or to make a bunch of money. I got into it because I loved to play. But as you do it long enough and you realize, hey, you know, people like this, you know, this music that I'm making, you know, you're hoping that you could, you know, you could do better if you had more time to do it and you didn't have to work during the day, you know, a sure. day job or a second job or two jobs or three jobs or whatever.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to be able to make at least a poor man's salary yeah, at it. Right. You know, it's like, you know, I ain't asking to be even middle. Apparently middle class nowadays is like $200,000 a year, according to the politicians.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, man. Yeah. It's just a tough deal. But you know what, man? I don't really give a crap, sure. man. You know, at the end of the day, I'm going to keep playing. I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because I love it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and, you know, obviously getting paid is nice, but I imagined seeing, like, those crowds of, you know,
oh, man.
Fans going crazy.
That's like, the only thing that keep a person motivated, yeah. you know, when it comes to that.
Sure.
You know, all the damn work.
Yeah, you can't put a price on
you put into
stuff.
It, but it all comes to worth it. You know, and also when people come up to you and tell you how much certain songs mean to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, like maybe I just had a couple the other day told me that they got married and that they met for the first time at a show we played. I think it was on, we did that riverboat show down there on the Mississippi.
Yeah.
They met on that boat, and now they're married, you know, and forever going to be fans, and forever.
That's very
cool. Those kind of things like that, you know, like are those moments, or when you have a young kid who wants to learn how to play and, you know, that brings his guitar to the show for me to sign.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff is, like, priceless, man, sure. you know, so. You can bet I ain't giving it up, man. Ain't no way. Yeah. You know, I just love it. And people give me that back, man. That's all I need, you know.
Do they have a first dance to a Jeremiah song? Or?
Oh, I don't have no idea yeah. if they did that. I hope not. I hope they found something more appropriate, but maybe they did. I don't know.
yeah. So along with the record, you did shoot a couple of music videos. People can go check those out. You shot videos for Southern Draw,
mm-hmm.
Skip That Stone, and Sunshine Through, and those are all available also at Jeremiah Johnson Band.
Yeah, except for Sunshine Through hasn't been released yet.
Yeah.
I think they're working on a really cool deal with the record company with Connor Ray. They got some good people over there, and they hooked me up with some more established, like, websites, you know, like music magazines.
Okay.
And so they've been doing exclusive releases. So,
yeah, nice.
It's pretty cool because, you know, that helps us get it out a little more. And so right now, Sunshine Through, is we're working on a deal with a magazine to get it released. I don't want to say the name yet
right.
until we get it all figured out.
Yeah.
But
keep an eye out for that, though.
But yeah, they were all shot at Beyond Broadway. We did a live recording and filmed the entire thing. And we invited a special, you know, we just invited some people down to hang out while we did it. And you know, they turned out fantastic. It was a long day, man, because we did these. And there's no going back. And we did not go in and edit these things. And fix parts, you know, you literally had your one shot at making it right, and that's it.
Sure.
Of course, the film we were taking, you could keep the film throughout the day, but that audio track you're listening to is the audio track.
Yeah.
We took it and had it mastered and, you know, mixed and mastered, and it turned out great. But, you know, when you have that kind of a pressure that, you're not going to get to go back and fix a mistake, you know, right. or something. Boy, it really,
sure.
really makes you a nervous wreck, you know.
You got to look cool doing it, too.
Well, yeah, hopefully. actually, to be honest with you, I don't really give a damn about looking cool
yeah.
when it comes to being worried about, am I hitting the note right?
Yeah.
But they turned out great, man. I'm really proud of them. Yeah, if you want to check them out, all of them are going to be available on our website, JeremiahJohnsonBand.com, but we have a YouTube channel too. I don't know what the little call letters are for it, but it's all through our website.
Right.
And they turned out great. I would ask you to please put them on a really good stereo and play them on your, you know, kick butt computer speakers or, you know, a good stereo at home and listen to the quality of the audio, because we put a lot into it, man. We
yeah.
did. Yeah.
Yeah. You also, it's been a little while now, but you did a Loft Sessions a while back with those guys have become good buddies of mine, and there's some other videos on YouTube, some more live stuff too. And
there's so much crap out there, yeah. Honest, but the ones that Loft Sessions did, though, is that Matt?
Yeah.
He those are very high quality, and yeah. And those are some of the cream of the crop stuff out there too.
Yeah, those guys have been helping. They shot when I had my 300th episode with Cavo. They shot the whole day, shot the interview, and then five acoustic tunes from Cavo.
Oh, damn, that's
so
cool.
It was really nice to partner up with those guys. And
well, they're good ones to do it with because they, you know, they're skilled and they really know what they're doing when it comes to putting together a live recording, you know, yeah. Video recording like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of Beale, you'll be back over at Beale for New Year's Eve.
Yep, I don't know how many years we've done this now, but we seem to really have some good New Year's Eves there, and it's our favorite place, you know, in town as far as live venue. You know, Beale and Hammerstones are, you know, my favorite ones, but Beale is perfect for a New Year's Eve place because they're open late, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, we're hoping everybody comes down. You know, even if you. If it's after your whatever you're doing, you know, come on down there and finish the night off with us or whatever. But it's going to be a great show, and looking to see everybody down there. We'll probably have almost always have Tom Papare. I'm sure he's going to be with us.
Yeah, I saw Tom the other day. I went to see it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Went and saw J.J. Gray and Mofro.
Yeah.
And Tom jumped up there and played some harp with him. And
yeah.
It was really cool that he got the opportunity to do that. And
yeah, he's cool, man. And he's good, you know. You get him in the right song and the right groove, and he'll freaking wick it.
Sure.
You know, he'll give it some stink.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to love him, man. Tom's a freaking St. Louis icon, man. And besides that, he's just flat out cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's all there's to it. I've been friends with him now, and for a long, long time, and I just enjoy having him. And I normally only hire him for the most part to play with me at Beale, just because I like to give that show a little something different when you come down there mm-hmm. and see us. Because I love playing Beale so much that I want it to be something different. And so a lot of times, almost every show, we have him with us, you know,
yeah.
down there at Beale.
Yeah. And then January 1st, you'll be over at Schmitty's.
Yeah, we're going to do the first show of the new year over at Schmitty's in Smithton, Illinois. And that's a Sunday 4 to 8 thing. And come on over there, and you know, it's a daytime thing, so you can come do it and be home before it's too late, you know.
Right.
And so come on over, you know.
Yeah. Well, along with Tom playing with you guys, you also made Frank an official member of the band now, right?
Yeah, Frank Bauer. He's been just playing, you know, he played on the new record, but I hired him to kind of fill in there. But then after we had him a few times, play with him more and more, it was just like, man, this is this really strong combo having him with us.
Yeah.
And just kind of presented it with him. And you know, we both kind of like, hey, do you want to do this? And he's like, do you want me to do this? And so, yeah, he's a full-time member now. And
yeah, that's great.
I tell you what, man, we're just getting better and better together, you know, as far as, you know, the band and him being in the band.
Yeah.
He's really fun to work with. He's such a great player. The thing I like about his horn playing is he's really good at being a rhythm player mm-hmm. at when he needs to. But whenever he wants to get on a lead or a solo,
right.
Oh my God, you know, he'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
You know? Just all around one badass musician.
For sure, yeah, man. Yeah, he's a bad dude.
Yeah, been stoked about that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's great, man. I love seeing the horns, and then you know, seeing Frank on the sax, and then occasionally get Tom on the harp and stuff, man. It's it really brings that sound to life and that full sound.
And you know, Frank is like one of these guys where we can. I can just play a little lead piece and he can mimic it, or he'll play something and I can mimic it, and then we can just kind of get into this thing where it's the two of us just sort of noodling together musically. And man, at moment, there's moments where it's just absolutely where I'm like beside myself,
right,
listening to this happen. As a matter of fact, it was last week. It might have been 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. But we had a moment where we were just hitting it so perfect that it literally brought tears to my eyes, man. Like, I just felt this moment of just overwhelming emotion, that just I was so musically happy at that moment that it took my body over, man. And actually, I had a tear roll down my eye. I mean, it was incredible.
Sure, man.
I mean, those moments like that are just unbelievable, man. Right. I mean, I think that happened over at Schmitty's. Yeah. And I think there's somebody got a photograph if you look close. But you can't. I'm pretty sure I wiped my tear. I didn't want nobody to see me. But I was like, holy crap, that was freaking powerful.
I love those moments, like, you know, when you know you're seeing something for real, like,
right,
like,
yeah.
This is a unique moment that you're not gonna get again.
Never, not rehearsed. Yeah. Never gonna see it again. This actually is just totally just freaking happening right there at that moment. Mm-hmm. And man, you live for those moments, you know, as a musician, you know. Yeah. So, and you know, I have those a lot more often than not whenever I play with him and Jeff Girardi on bass. He's solid, smoking it, and Bennett Schaefer on drums, killing it as always. The four of us, you know, I don't think there's a place in this country that we couldn't walk in there and do our thing and make a statement, you know.
Yeah.
I'm counting on it, actually.
Yeah, man. I recently saw your picture online up above the Vegas Strip.
Oh, yeah.
How cool is that, man? Like...
Yeah, we did a show at the SLS Casino down there and the Sayers Club. And, man, I had no idea that it was going to be where we went down there and to see our name and my picture and all that on these 40-foot, 30-foot yeah. tall billboards everywhere and digital things all over the place. And, hell, when you were in the casinos, all the little coin-operated machines, the show would see the pop up, our band name would pop up on the little displays, and you know, they had a billboard of us on the side of the highway, and that was a little bit surreal, to be honest
sure.
with you. You know, you're walking down the strip and there's your picture and your band name, and it's like a size of a building.
Yeah.
But you know, the whole thing, as much as I don't know that I allowed myself to really enjoy it as much as I probably should have, or get too excited about it, because I just was concerned that I was just like, man, we got to do a great show. You know, I guess I almost, and to a certain degree, was really more worried about, man, we got to do great.
And, yeah.
Man, are any of these people going to even know who the hell we are? I mean, you get down there in Vegas, man, and there is more shit to get your attention.
Right.
We got Celine Dion, you know, what's her name? Britney Spears has got a show. I mean, there's like all these big shows. And so, you know, a person like myself, I'm sitting here thinking, man, well, who the hell is going to care about me? You know, I mean, you know, but in the end of the day, we had a good crowd, man, and the room was good, and man, the people just absolutely loved it, and we ended up playing 30 minutes longer than our contract, and the people were really stoked, and
yeah,
you know, people were paying $1,000 for a table in that place to sit by the band up front.
Yeah,
now that included, you could get four people to sit there, and you know, they brought all the drinks, and they had two people to wait on you. It was really top-notch service. But man, when I found that out, I mean, you can bet that we were all like, man, we are gonna give these people the best damn show sure. we have ever got. And you know, we all had the opportunity to bring our girlfriends and wives with us down for this show, and all of them said that that was one of the best performances they had ever seen us play. And so I feel like we did do that. We did try to give them that $1,000 show, you know? Yeah. And, man, I tell you what, if we get back down there, I'm going to do it again, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it again.
Well, you, you're looking to 2017. You're looking to hit it hard again, right? You, shooting for some European dates and things too, maybe?
Yeah. Well, we have been trying for years to get to over to England and Europe. And finally, I think we've got some stuff in the works in July that it looks like we're actually going to get to do it. We're still trying to put everything together. But I think we got one big festival that we've already got secured. And so if we can get another one, and then we're going to fill all those dates in between. I mean, we're not going to be over there and have one day off. We're only going to go for maybe 10 days.
Yeah.
But we're going to play every night we're there. And so, I'm excited because it really is starting to look like it's going to happen. We're starting to look into, you know, our people are looking into getting all the permits and things together so that, you know, it's like getting to that level where it looks like, okay, this is maybe I can start to kind of be excited about this. But yeah, man, we're going to, you know, I have been trying to get over there for so long. We have so many fans all over the world that, you know, send us messages, buy our CDs, order our shirts and merchandise and stuff. And, you know, this would be the first step at getting over there, you know. You got to make that first flight across that pond, you know.
Right.
And I truly believe once we get over there, if we can just get to that audience and they can see what this St. Louis band's got.
Yeah, man.
I think we can really show them.
Because right,
we're not afraid of it, you know. I don't think that there's any reason to be. You know, right. We're going to go over there and freaking kick some ass, man.
Sure. Yeah, I know. I mean, like I said, I think I said it before, but like, I've got a lot of friends that go over there, and they all seem to do very well playing this rock and blues music and stuff.
Yeah.
The Europeans, you know, they love it. And, so, like, I know guys like Moreland and Arbuckle and Nikki Hill does real well over there.
Yeah.
Nikki and Matt. And,
well, Zito and Samantha Fish and all the people on Rough Records all do well. And, you know, I'm friends with Zito, and Zito, you know, has talked to me about it, and you know, really, he just basically is like, you know, you got to get that first time over there.
Sure.
You know, the biggest trick is getting that first time over there and starting to make some connections.
Right.
You know, and it's just like anything else. It's like you're trying to get first gigs in St. Louis, you know. It's just the same thing, except for it's a long damn far away, and it costs a lot to fly there. And you have to get permits to play, and so it's a whole lot bigger deal, but we're going to make it happen, man, and we'll see what happens, man. I know one thing, though. We're going to work our butt off. We're going to play every day, and we're going to fly back, and we're going to see if we can get back there again after that, you know?
Yeah, man. I remember I was listening back to your first appearance, and you were talking about then. That was going into 2015. You said you were looking to hit 200 dates a year.
Yeah.
How many do you think you got here in 2016? Did you count?
Man, I haven't counted, but you know, I would say, well, I'm sure we're shy of that a little bit, but pretty close to it.
I mean, I know you were out on, you know,
did, pretty close
you
to
went
it
to New York and did all that stuff. So you've been out on the road a lot. And
well, man, we've been all over, man. We've had a great freaking year, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this year has kicked butt. There is no doubt about it. I mean, we've made some really good connections. We've, you know, in Canada, we've made great connections all up in New York, in Buffalo. We've made, you know, we've been doing great. We've been doing great in Vegas, mm-hmm. you know, not just in Las Vegas, but outside of Vegas, down in Nevada. I don't see, you know, so far, man, we've had just an absolutely badass year.
Sure.
I mean, our record's made to number 5.
Yeah.
You know, they're still playing on the radio. It's in the top 50, and it's been in the top 50 now since we released it.
Mm-hmm.
That was in July, and it's almost the end of the year.
Right.
I mean, you got to remember, man, that in this business, in most cases, you can have a record, and as soon as somebody else comes out with a new record, you're not in top anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like as soon as like 10 more guys or new bands come out with their new record,
right,
you're out. Yeah. That's it. They ain't like there's only so many people who have the Beatles where it stays in there for the whole year, you know? You get your moment, that's it. You know, and then you got to keep on trying, you know? And, man, I tell you what, we've had a great year and a great half a year since it came out. And, man, we're just going to keep kicking butt, man. I mean, I've got a bunch of new song ideas and about ready to get hitting it really hard on songwriting over here over this first part of the year.
Yeah.
Got a lot of time off, so I'm going to spend a lot of time woodshedding in the basement here. And,
yeah.
And we're going to get some songs written, and we're going to freaking... The thing is with me, I already have so many songs. I already have enough songs to do an album. But I ain't happy with that. I want to make up 10 new ones and then say, okay, 6 of these fit real well with 4 or 5 of these old ones.
Yeah.
And put together something that's sweet, you know? This is going to be a different record, this new one, when I get to it. We're a little ways away from it, but,
right,
you know, they all grow a little. And I got my Delaney's, got some new amplifiers, man, I'm real stoked about. And I got we got a new idea about how we want to do this, so it's going to be cool. I'm excited about the future in general. Looking forward to a new year and just continue on kicking butt, man.
Yeah. I'm excited for some new tunes. I mean, obviously I love the, you know, like I'm saying, it's only been not even 6 months.
Right.
But, it's exciting to think about some more new tunes coming out. I can always,
you won't survive nowadays if you don't keep putting out new albums. I mean, like I said, you're up and you're out, you know, it's how it is. But we're getting there, man. We're getting there. We've got booking agencies that have been calling us, and we've been talking to people. You know, we're getting really close, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can almost smell the bacon in the kitchen.
Right.
We just can't get through the door yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever get, like, just for example, bacon in the kitchen or whatever, something like that? Like you have somebody says some line like that, and just like,
it
sits in your head, and you're like, man, that's a hook in a song. Like,
oh, yeah, I do all the time. I write a lot of that stuff down. But then, you know, I totally do. Every one of the song ideas is something like that. But sometimes they just come out of me, and there it is. Or sometimes I'm just sitting there playing a riff, and I start singing. And it comes out, you know?
Sure.
We got some interesting new stuff that there's a couple of them that I just totally made up on the spot that are going to be pretty interesting that are just like that. You know, it's like, I don't want to give away any of the ideas now, but, songwriting is just a trip, man. Sometimes they hit you and sometimes you end up working on them for a long time. And then sometimes you get the idea and the chords kind of come together and it's done in 10 minutes,
right,
you know? And I'm not going to say one song's better than the other, the well thought out one or the one that happened quick, because sometimes they're both equally as good. It's just you have to do as much hard work on them. I like the ones that come out in 15 minutes. You don't have to do no work on them.
I think I heard Steven Tyler say something like, you know, talking about sometimes he'll just start like making noises and then like he'll go back and then like kind of figure out words that kind of fit in that phrasing and that melody and stuff. And
well, that's whenever you're trying to write a song, I don't think that you should worry about what words you're saying. You just start, you're trying to get a melody and you're trying to get a cadence going.
Yeah.
That's it. Cause that's the hook. Not you got your main hook, but then you just, as long as you're along with that cadence, you put the lyrics in after that.
Right.
Hey, what's up, man? Oh, look who just walked in. Tyler Stokes.
Hey, man.
Delta Soul Revival.
Good to see you, my friend.
We're on a podcast. Say hello.
What's going on, y'all?
Not much.
Yeah, we're almost done. We've been yakking it up about the new record. And
it's a good one.
Yeah, talking new tunes now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you talking new tunes?
getting everybody excited. But yeah, man, we can drop in some of the tunes from Blues Heart Attack.
Play some of them, man. And maybe even try to play some of the, you know, you could get some of the audio from one of the videos or something or another. Okay. But play them some stuff, man. Yeah. Let them see it. Let them play it. Let them hear it.
Yeah. And get out there again, New Year's Eve, Beale on Broadway, and January 1st over at Schmitty's. All your merchandise at JeremiahJohnsonBand.com.
Yep, we got new hoodies and zippered hoodies and hats. It's all kinds of, man, it's like a plethora of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and of course, keep up on Facebook. More dates always being announced. And
definitely.
So, yeah. But, yeah, man, thanks a lot, Jeremiah. I appreciate you taking some time out to hang again, man, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yep, let's try not to make the next one be almost two. You know, yeah. Almost 2 years.
You're a busy man. You, like I said, you've been out there hustling. So it's but yeah, it works for me, man. I'll be here ready when you are.
All right, cool, man. All right, thanks again. Later, guys.
Thanks, man.
Frank Bauer on the saxophone and backup vocals. Mr. Nathan Hershey on the keys and the organ. Mr. Jeff Girardier on the bass guitar and backup vocals. On the drums, Mr. Bennett Schaefer.
Is it here,
Southern draw there ain't nothing right shooting stars in the sky. Grandmother's apple pie, I raise my drink to the sky. And I don't know why I feel like I can fly. I've got Elvis in the corner and I'm listening to Johnny Cash. I'm gonna phone some rhythm, gonna fly the free bird alive. It's in the end of the night. Everything's alright. I said there ain't nothing wrong. Grandson of my name, watch a baseball game. It's a Cracker Jack night, so let the romance fly. I've got apples in the funnel and I'm listening to Johnny Cash. I'm gonna fly the free bird alive. It's in the end of the night. Everything's alright. I said there ain't nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong. Hey.
to church on Sunday. Bussin' ass on Monday. Can a man get by and you have a man come by? I got apples in the corner and a whistle to China cash. I'm gonna phone some prison, gonna find a free buddy life. It's the end of the night, everything's alright. I said, there ain't nothing wrong.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.